instead of the swears being cut out, it's a beep. All you would be hearing is beeping.
Beeping. You're the beeper.
I'm the beeper.
Well, this is the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club from November 23rd. I'm Scott Stimson, the host, here with...
Sophiana Stimson, the daughter. Daughter. I pronounced that right.
You pronounced daughter wrong?
Yeah, I said daughter.
Dobbler.
Dobbler. I'm the Dobbler.
Beattie and I are sitting here with Tata and Mina. Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hello. I'm Scott's father.
Mr. Terry Stimson.
Beattie's grandfather, yes.
In the background there was Mom, the wonderful Mina, a.k.a. Sandy Stimson, a.k.a. Scott's mom, is getting us set up with some ice cream treats.
Woo!
Yay! Ice cream!
Ice cream!
You scream. Ice cream. We all scream for ice cream. Mom and Dad are here in San Carlos, and you did computer club meeting from the deck of this rental.
Yep.
Just yesterday.
Yep, I did.
How was it?
Good meeting.
Yeah, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. I like hearing everybody speak and what's important in computer club, like what films to watch and TV shows to watch.
Those important things.
The important stuff.
Yeah.
You didn't hear, but Mina stole my recommendation for a movie.
Oh, I'm so sorry I did that.
What movie?
Ghostbusters, of course.
I will suggest that if you guys are interested in some funny stuff to get into the podcast, in the first 2 to 3 minutes of every episode for the last year or so has been conversations with Beattie and I like this, or with Yuya. Actually, most recent, last two podcasts had intros with Yuya and Bibiana, and then the other one was Yuya and Emily, because I just sent them off on the cast recorder going, do an intro for the computer club. We're off to eat ice cream. This has been the intro for the San Carlos Computer Club from November 23rd, 2021. Again, this is Scott Stimson, your host.
This is Viviana Stimson, his daughter.
This is Terry Stimson, his father.
Mom.
Sandra Stimson, his mother.
And we're all here to say, tech on.
Tech on.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
All right.
Until next Tuesday. Tech on.
All right, bye.
Then went out for dinner, and I told them that I was celebrating my birthday, too, which is technically true, but I'm celebrating for 5 weeks because it's a big one.
Sure. Anytime I'm celebrating, it's probably my birthday. I'm celebrating.
Yes, that's right. Well, I'm celebrating my 65th on January 8th, but it's our last kind of hurrah in Vegas. So I've been telling the restaurants that it's my birthday. I'm getting birthday cake. I have the flower that was on the cake last night in my hair. So, Paul, I'll celebrate for you and Emily and everybody else,
okay,
too.
Well, yesterday was probably your Canadian birthday.
Yes, probably, 5 weeks short or something.
So, Paul, something's up
with Canadian Thanksgiving.
Something's up with your camera. You look like a ghost fading in and out of the background.
Yeah, it's the my computer camera, and I'm trying to figure out how to reselect. I did a right click on the camera on the line, but I don't see anything that says select camera.
I think you need to go into settings. The ellipse of the three dots. It says more options when you hover over it. Oh, and
switch camera.
There you go. That's what you're looking for.
Bingo.
A whole new person. Look at that.
Yeah, here's my shirt. I don't know if you can see it.
Amazing since November 1940. Well, happy birthday, Paul.
Well, thank you.
Very good.
81.
That's amazing. You don't come off as somebody that's 81. You're much more childish than that. I guess you never grow out of it.
Tell to my back.
That I hear. I'm old enough to appreciate that. Hey, Bill, you've gotten on okay. What do you sound like this morning? Testing. 1, 2. Like a kung fu movie.
a bad Japanese movie.
Right. So how are you doing today, Bill? Are you sad you're leaving Vegas?
No, it's fine. It may be one more royal or something just to cheer us up as we go out the gate.
Are you walking away with winnings?
Nope. No, you never plan on walking away with winnings. What the hell was that? Something beeped in my ear.
The troubleshooter is going off for me right now. Network stability.
I know some people that,
network stability.
Some people that went to Vegas with a $5,000 old Chevy and left in a $150,000 bus. Right on.
That's the truth. Yeah, there's lots of people that would like to be in the position we are, even if we aren't up on the money for 5 weeks. We're if we count our comps, all our free rooms and free food, we're about 2,000 up on the Vegas system.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, we're down in actual cash, but we're up by about $2,000.
And up by experience.
Well, experience counts too. That's true.
Do you go to shows?
Not all the time. Not this time. We haven't done any shows.
Not since Elvis, huh?
What's that?
Not since Elvis.
Never did see him. Our experience with the high, the prominent name shows. You know, usually it's the entertainers that have had a career and are just sort of slowly fading into the background. Our experience with them has not been great. You know, their shows have been less than stellar most of the time. We liked Rod Stewart. Had a good show, even though he's I don't know, he must be 80, isn't he? Something old like you.
Old like me, yeah.
Yeah, but he can still kick a soccer ball into the upper decks. That's one of his things. He gets the soccer balls out, kicks them up into the stadium, or into the concert hall.
Rod Stewart does
that? He owns some soccer team.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what's that all about?
He owns,
but it's
He owns some big soccer.
That's really interesting.
What are you looking at?
Do people scream goal when he does it?
I'm putting lots of feedback in it.
We're having Scott's technical difficulties at the moment.
Bill, are you still in Las Vegas?
Yeah, we're here for, this is our last full day here. We leave tomorrow and we make one night stop in Laughlin, which is just like an hour out of here. And then the next day we're in Yuma for a couple of days. And then over to Tucson, Nogales, and down to San Carlos. We'll be in San Carlos next week this time.
Yay!
Stop at 20 Uno.
No, we don't. When we're in Yuma, we go across the border into El Cadones, and we buy our permits at the office there. So
that's,
you know, it works fine.
20 Uno is full of those darn Canadians.
Yeah, I know. They just clogging up the system like leaves
We had a 3-hour wait there with no Canadians.
Wow. See, if there was Canadians there, you'd have probably got through faster.
Get rid of them.
They're the polite ones. Mexicans like us.
Three hours sounds like Christmas.
Yeah, that's nasty. But it works out fine. We have stopped at the immigration office right at the border at Nogales at the truck route border, but in Mariposa. But I guess it's closed now. There was a little immigration office there you could just pull into and get your permits.
Yeah,
we always used it, but no more.
What's that, Paul?
We have used that in the last 5 years or so, but no mas.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, if I went to Europe, I'd tell people I was Canadian and then be all right.
Yeah, I know you guys. You ride on our backs all the time. You know, you sell
Canadian tags on your stuff so people don't get mad at you.
That's a great idea.
Well, the alternative is to have two cameras around my neck and go as a Japanese tourist.
The one thing you won't see very often is a Canadian sewing an American flag on his backpack. You're not going to see that.
Well, maybe he's going down south, you know. Maybe not in the northern states, but you might want to wear an American flag if you're hitting Virginia, West Virginia. You know, just play on the safe side. Put an American flag.
Down there you put on a Confederate flag.
Confederate flag. Yeah, there you go. Morning, Chester. You got connected without me having to press any buttons. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Have any of you brought any topics for today? We're going to start in about 5 minutes for real. I'll put them on my list. Otherwise, we don't have to be that organized because we sure don't have a reputation for it. I'm looking at the document and I see that Mom's in it and Jim's in it, neither of which have gotten into our meeting yet. I'm going to go ahead and post.
We got another few minutes to go.
Yeah, we've still got a few more minutes. I'm going to go ahead and post this link to the shared document in our in-call messages so that if you haven't grabbed access to it, you can just click on there and open it up as a separate tab. And the way this Google Meet works, as more people join us, I'll reshare it and reshare it because they won't see it because they're not with us yet.
I think I'm finally hooked up. My hearing aids are being funny today. I'm getting lots of my own feedback and everything through them. But
hey, we are too. Is everybody else hearing Cheryl as an echo?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on.
There.
Is it better now? Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Much better. Okay, so his speaker was picking me, his microphone was picking me up. We are in one room today. Anyways, I've got the YouTube running on my other iPad. I've never watched it. Well, not since we left San Carlos. I used to watch it on the YouTube from home when you guys were meeting in San Carlos. I was usually doing housework or something, and I never had input to the meetings. But on my iPad, I can't get Google Meet, you know. It's too old an operating system. So I've got Bill's iPad going over here, the new one, and I've got this one here, and then the phone was on a minute ago. So trying to get things hooked up, but I'm here.
Well, you sound like me. I've got 5 screens around me at this moment.
And I noticed you put in the document a link to customer service phone numbers.
Yeah, pretty I was cool. going to bring that up today.
Yeah, I just was looking through the things for today. The AT&T loyalty, I have a different number for that one for AT&T prepaid. Just to let you know.
Oh, okay.
So those are the numbers that Judy had given us, and I'll try and put the other one on. And that My ATT app, I cannot get it to work. It keeps telling me not available in your area. So there's something screwy with it.
Well, that's interesting.
But it could be me.
I'm going to add that to our list of questions because that is an odd thing to My AT&T is the app we're talking about, right?
Yeah, but like I can find it in the App Store, and it just tells me not available for my area. So I don't think it's related to My ATT prepay. They keep telling me that I'm phoning the wrong department if I phone the one and the other. You know, they transfer me over. So it seems like it's two totally different things.
Well, I have no experience with the My AT&T app. I'm not sure where it's supposed to be located. But it might end up as a follow-up. We might have to just do some research and see what that's all about.
I can only seem to get it into a browser, not an app.
Well, I've got
I think it has to do with your type of plan.
Morning, is Judy. It? I saw you pop in. We were just in the middle of a discussion.
Good morning. I'm only here for Dave. Another 15, so I'm out of here in 15 minutes. But anyway, I wanted to say hi. So.
Well, hi. Oh, hey, and we're starting right now. I'm hitting this button, and you're telling us you're only going to be here for the next 15 minutes. We're going to miss you, Judy. And she's gone. There she is.
No.
Scott.
Yes, Fred, hold on a second. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, your local tech head, your friendly neighborhood computer tech guy. And we meet every Tuesday at 10 to solve the tech problems of the world, to help each other and share tech news, and hopefully have a good discussion, check in with each other. How are all you guys doing together? I've got a fine group of faces here, and we were just talking about AT&T and customer support numbers, and Fred was going to add something, and if it's related, it doesn't matter because we have no agenda and we're not very well organized. Go ahead, Fred.
Your countdown clock is wrong.
Awesome.
Right now, I just tuned into it, and it says you don't start for another 30 minutes.
It's a half hour off? Well, my countdown clock, it's the first time I tried the countdown on your suggestion, and the countdown clock I'm using, I found on a website where I sent it to myself in email, and I pasted it into another email. But it sounds like I need to find out what's going on with that. So is it actually still running right now?
Yeah, it says running. It says 15 minutes now.
Well, that's very interesting.
Mine Where says is 29 it? Minutes and 31 seconds.
Well, this sounds like a horrible countdown clock. I need to find a different one. It was in the email I sent at 9:15. It was something new I was trying that Fred had suggested I thought was pretty cool, is to just put a countdown to the meeting in the email message so it's fairly obvious when we're going to start. So this is my first attempt. Hey, Jim.
Mine says 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
It's all wrong. It's all wrong. Just
well,
don't
I think you need to refresh your browsers.
Well, it's in your email.
It's not a browser. It's an email.
It should literally be looking at your system date and time and then calculating how much time is left till the... So as long as your system date and time is correct, it should be correct. The fact that it isn't means
it
it's
is,
a lousy countdown timer and we shouldn't use it. I'm going to give it a one-star review right here, right now on the San Carlos Computer Club and find a different countdown timer because I like the idea, but the execution is really poor at the moment. Jim, you look very clean cut. Where have you been? Oh, there you go. Now you look like you have a COVID hair. Well, I see a number of you
now
in
I'll
the document
right
now. Oh, I'm sorry. What was that, Jim? Can everybody hear me okay? Excellent. Well, as you've seen, those of you that have been in the document, I do have a couple of topics that I've stuck in here. Not a lot of stuff.
It's cold. It's cold, so I'm tucked.
You're tucked.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I just wanted to follow up from last week is the orbital debris program. We were talking about the Russian satellite that had broken apart and the debris field that it had left. And I had mentioned there are some videos out there that will show you the modeling of debris spinning around in that orbital space. And I just put a link here to their photo gallery, the orbital debris, what do they call it? Laboratory debris program. It's called ARIS. Or ARIS is their advanced research at NASA, and their program is called the Orbital Debris Program. But they track all this stuff. And if you're staying up to date with this story, they're very concerned that this is going to continue to be a problem. The debris, as it breaks up more, they lose track of it, which is something that I wasn't aware of. That as you have these large pieces of debris, throughout, as time goes on, they bang into each other, they take their own damage, and they get smaller and smaller until they get to a size that they can't track any longer. It's just not feasible with the technology we have. So hold that in your thoughts as you think about the damaged shuttle window that was damaged by a paint chip that cracked the shuttle window way back in the day, and just realize what a big problem this is that they have created by destroying this shuttle. Anyway, if you're interested, it's very impressive. The computer model that tracks all this debris, it's just like this shower of stars surrounding the Earth. And that link
I saw it, and I was wondering, when they shoot a rocket, do they have to punch a hole through do they have to consider all that when they plot a course?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the frustration, is right now, the debris that they track, they make very specific changes in their course trajectory to avoid debris that's already orbiting the Earth. And the problem is the smaller stuff that they have no feasible means of tracking. So what they're tracking right now with this is like a debris cloud. They've used math to figure out where those kinds of particles should be moving as this cloud of debris, so that they can move their operations around it. But it's a different case altogether when you're talking about a cloud of variable debris versus very specific pieces of debris. And they can track. It seems like what I saw was they could track a piece of debris small enough to fit in my hand. It's when it gets smaller than that it gets ridiculous.
I read something in the Wall Street Journal this week that even is more frightening than that, and that is the purpose of this test, where they destroyed one of their own satellites, gives them the capability to destroy all of our satellites if they want to and when they want to, particularly positioning satellites. So that's the frightening part of this.
Yeah, that's absolutely something to keep in mind, that this was openly an anti-satellite demonstration, that they could bring down a satellite. They're not hiding that fact. that, I mean, it's, I think, isn't it to intimidate the rest of the world?
I think it's called saber rattling.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I really think there's no justification for it other than to provoke fear and intimidation across the world.
Well, to also prove they could do it.
Sure.
And then the added benefit is to show the rest of the world. If they had not been able to do it, then you wouldn't know anything about it.
Right. Yeah.
I agree with you, Chester. So how come there's all feedback like this? Is there a way to stop that?
Are you hearing feedback right now?
Yeah, huge feedback on
Jimmy,
a loop.
None of us, I think, are experiencing any feedback. Maybe you want to disconnect.
I'm going to go and come back.
Yeah, just see what happens. It's obviously an audio problem, though, because your video is perfect. And there's the other Jim. Jim Cunningham, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Just checking in. We have house guests for Thanksgiving, but I thought I'd peek in for a few minutes. And at some point, I want to raise a question, but see how everybody's doing.
All right. Well, I don't think we're on any particular topic at the moment. What's your question?
I have a laser printer that is wireless. I brought it up a couple of weeks ago. I still haven't been able to get that connected to my network. I did attach a cable and hope that maybe there'd be an automatic program, but nothing triggered. It just doesn't read. Got any suggestions what I should do next?
What's the brand?
It's an HP LaserJet P1102W, whatever that means.
Call customer support, but do not tell them you're in Mexico.
Well, the problem is none of that matters unless it's under warranty. HP is horrible if it's not under warranty. So if it's a brand new product, they're very willing to help you. But if it's not under warranty, they want your credit card number before they want to know what country you're in.
Right, that's true.
You said it's an HP LaserJet. What was the series number?
P as in Paul, 1102W.
So it's I think the W means it's wireless, I'm guessing.
Correct.
And you're trying to install it in Windows 10?
That's correct.
Okay. Windows 10 has got to be one of the most forgiving four printers out of all the Windows versions.
I have two printers, and one of them is a laser printer. And the laser printer destroyed the other printer.
Oh, really?
Wait, what does that mean?
No, you missed her.
My wife just walked in and was saying breakfast in 5 minutes, so I missed it. But I replayed it in my head, and I got it the second time.
I don't get it, but I'm looking up instructions to help instead of making smart-ass remarks.
Laser, satellite.
It destroyed it. All right, thank you. That's what I can't actually multitask. I pretend to, but what I do is I fail
very
at both things humor. I'm trying to do.
Scott had to say it. 80 plus. He had his birthday yesterday, everybody else. He's 81. Happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Happy
I'm sorry
birthday.
I haven't had a chance to say it with
happy
the group.
Happy birthday, Paul.
And, also, take a moment and say happy birthday
to all.
Emily. My daughter
shares
a birthday with Paul. She's 16. She had her sweet 16 yesterday when Paul was having his 81st.
Oh, happy 16th birthday.
Oh, 16. Awesome. And Judy, thank you. We Canadians are thankful all the time, so we celebrate with you too. So there you go.
Paul, what'd you do for your birthday?
Well, Jim, first off, did you check?
Okay, hold on a second there, Dave. I am sending Jim
what
a
did
link
I get? I got two
to
ribeye
the software.
Steaks.
Go ahead, Paul.
Okay.
I got two ribeye steaks from Santa Rosa.
Oh, nice.
But they weren't given to me. I paid $21 for them.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Could have won it at the Riscati Market.
But it was cheaper than going to Blackie's.
Yeah, I'm jealous. They're good steaks.
Yeah. So,
they're good.
So, Jim, I just found the support page for that particular printer, and it has a full series software driver. It's under the driver product installation software. And these are very annoying.
I got it.
It's in the chat here.
You put the link up, right?
I'm sorry?
Okay, I just saw that.
I'll even stick it in the documents since we're talking about it.
Page.
And so download that.
And there it is. Software and drivers.
And that should walk you through getting it set up. And if it doesn't work the first time, my recommendation is to go into your apps and delete any HP printer software associated with that particular printer and then try installing it again.
Gotcha.
And be very patient.
Good suggestion. Thank
HP,
you, everyone.
And their software requires lots of patience. Many times it requires reboots that you weren't anticipating. It could take time to download more sites. It's a horrible experience sometimes.
Okay, well, here's going to be the plan B. We'll make a quick run at that, but if that doesn't work, Scott, I'm going to give you a call. We do our little remote magic, and maybe you can help out.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Done, okay.
And we can have horrible printer installation experiences together remotely.
Together. Wonderful.
It's a bonding experience.
That's right.
Thanksgiving chortle from Jim there.
Hey, Bill, am I right that you guys are coming down next Monday?
Ask the social convener.
Ah, we'll have to see what she says.
Well, have we got any other
tech
problems? I see Mom's on. Hi, Mom. Welcome. Mom's on the deck in San Carlos right now, overlooking the bay. Or not the bay, but...
That's wonderful.
She's overlooking La Posada Beach.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, guys. I don't know how long this will last, but we'll see.
So have we got any other questions? Dave, you wanted to make a comment. Did you have a suggestion on the printer install?
Well, I have a couple. One, Jim, quickly, make sure you're on the 2.4 gig Wi-Fi rather than the 5 gig.
Okay.
Chester, VLC had the exact thing of what you wanted to do about 3 weeks ago. Third item is our internet, which is fiber optic, is cutting in and out. I've heard it's a problem all over town, and that a wire was cut, which was from our Mexican friend way out in the Ranchitos. So in our case, it might work for 10 hours, and then it might work 5 minutes. So it goes constantly in and out, and I hear it all over town. We reported it last Friday.
Dave, you're not out in the Ranchitos.
Does anyone have a U.S. phone number for Telmec? I used to have it. That one no longer works, and I have to do the transfer to a Spanish-speaking number.
Oh, an English speaker?
Guys, I've got to get off. Apparently, breakfast is happening.
All right, well, that's definitely more important, Jim. Go eat.
Well, we have guests, and, you know. Okay.
Absolutely.
See you soon.
Dave, you're not out in the Ranchitos, but you're saying you were affected by that line that went down in the Ranchitos?
Well, we don't know what went down in the Ranchitos. I'm way out on the west side in Vista Marina.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But I think throughout town that I've heard that this is a problem, but I'm surprised I haven't seen it reported on Viva or anywhere.
I'm really curious if it's not one problem, but just a bunch of little problems because they're finally out working on stuff and upgrading stuff. Bringing down links and bringing them up.
There's so much construction going on. I think that's really the problem.
Yeah, I really don't believe it's one particular issue, but I do think that they're having issues regularly because of what they're doing, and it's affecting patches of people. And then I think, I don't know if this is true.
Our friends in the Ranchitos have the problem.
I heard a rumor in the Ranchitos that line was down because someone thought they could sell it.
Yeah, that they cut a fiber optic cable. I can't imagine having a market to sell it.
Well, I'm sure they thought it was copper. We've dealt with that in the past in the Maquilas. We've had large sections of the Maquilas down because someone tore down their fiber optic lines thinking that it was copper that they could sell.
Could be. So anyway, Chester was asking, I think it was copying YouTube stuff into...
couple weeks ago, YouTube download
the
videos.
The ideal solution for them was it's built into the VLC media player. There was an article I saw a couple days after he asked, and I was going, that is just perfect for him.
Well, you got the article?
I think I could find it. I was trying to remember exactly what it was he was trying to do.
I sure can't remember.
Well, Chester, if I can refresh your memory, I think that you were wanting to get videos from YouTube downloaded to your desktop.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. Search on VLC Media Player, and there's a perfect write-up on exactly how to do that. It was like
conference again, VLC.
VLC, and that's the media player that many of us use.
Yeah, in case somebody's hearing us mention VLC and you're not familiar with it, it is one of the most robust and easy to use media players that are open source and cross platform. I've got VLC running on Linux machines, Macintosh machines, and Windows machines, and I expect them all to function and work exactly the same with the exact same success. Yes. If you've got
capability, I was very surprised that VLC had no clue, and yet I use the product, so it's very robust with things built in you don't think about.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Good.
Thanks for that information.
If you've got a folder of videos on a storage device, you can use it to watch and listen to those videos. If you've got a collection of music, you can point it at VLC and use it as your music player. It seems to skimp on the automaticness that you find in like an iTunes or like a Netflix, where it's looking through the catalog and it's making it pretty and putting content in front of you. It's more of a kind of on your own media player, but it really works well. It's the catch-all when you've got a file format and you can't watch it or listen to it. More than likely, VLC will be able to do it. And then,
you know, my problem was copying the URL and putting that into a program to convert it so you could.
And that's what Dave's referring to, is using this. That's the thing about this media player, is it's got such a variety of different tasks you can do with it. One of them apparently is to put that URL into VLC and use VLC to download it to your desktop. And Dave, you were saying there's an article out there.
Hardware? Is this software or hardware?
Software. And it's been around for a long time. It's very well trusted media player software. It can do crazy stuff. It can link to audio streams out there. If somebody's got a radio station, you can link to it through VLC. You can use it to build playlists. You can use it to access files across your network for media files across your network. There's just all kinds of stuff that you can use it for. You can use it to open up a file archive of a DVD. Say you've taken the contents of a DVD and you've copied directly just that raw DVD into a folder, then you can use VLC to open it up as though it's a DVD with its menus and everything there, subtitles and alternate audio.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Very good suggestion.
I'm in my app store on my old iPad. There's a VLC for mobile and a VLC streamer hobbyist software. Any recommendations?
Well, it's not an ideal player for a mobile device like an iOS device or an Android device. Though it does serve that feature, it doesn't have many of the other things that come along with it. And so I might not even recommend using it on an Android or an iOS device, because you have much better media players with the kind of features you're looking for in a mobile device.
Okay, my iPad is not a mobile device in my mind. It's not connected to data or anything. It doesn't have that capability.
But mobile device is just a catch-all for these tablets and phones. You're running a mobile device operating system. That's what iOS is. And iOS is a locked-down operating system, so that a VLC really can't offer the kind of features in that operating system that it can offer on a desktop computer. So I don't think of it, I mean, you'll disagree with me, anybody that's out there that's using it, I'd love to hear their opinion and hear how they use it, but it just has never been the ideal media player under those operating systems. It's the variety of features it has that you can take advantage of exists on the desktop platforms like Macintosh, macOS, Windows, all the way through the Windows version. So all the way back to Windows 95, I think it's been around, as well as Linux. It's an open source piece of software, and it's been on Linux forever. It's really popular for those folks that have a folder full of content that they want to be able to watch or listen to without any hassle. And we'll make that an app recommendation for the desktop, at least for today. I use it all the time. I use it so frequently that I don't even think of it as being something people don't know about.
Well, and I just, I'm downloading it. So that's a good thing, because usually when I find things in the App Store, it gives me a message that it's for iOS 14 and greater, and I just can't install that. So this one actually says it's there and that I can open it, and it says it can do all those things.
Yeah.
So, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So what else do we have going on? Is there any other questions, recommendations, websites people have been to that we should share? I've got a couple of news articles in here. Did you guys see this news article about Amazon? You know, they're worldwide. They're trying to organize a strike this week. They're calling it the Make Amazon Pay. And they're trying to do a walkout during Black Friday, which sounds to me like something that's just going to hurt us. In my opinion, I don't think it's actually going to hurt anybody, because Black Friday is the sales time period. And if it takes longer for what you bought for Christmas to get to you, you probably don't care as long as it makes it before Christmas.
Gives them all a long weekend, though.
Yeah, this is coming as they have been accused of doing union busting tactics. You know, they had a couple of places they were voting on unions, and they voted against it. They voted against it. And right afterwards, there was articles coming out talking about the companies that Amazon hired for marketing that have specific programs that are geared towards union busting. Actually, there was this really interesting podcast I listened to. I wish I could remember it now, and I'll try and make a point of linking to it later. Where they talked about how union busting is a PR market, and that depending on how much money your organization is ready to spend, they've got tiers of products that you can buy, all the way down to canned products that are pre-recorded with green screen with people giving advice about how bad unions are. And then you can green screen your organization behind the conversation and share that with your employees during some training seminar. A lot of interesting stuff that I had never even considered. You know what? Maybe I saw that on like a John Oliver or a Tonight Show thing. I'm just pulling it out of the back of my mind.
I saw an ad from Amazon.
Say that again.
An ad from Amazon that says that they're starting at $16 an hour.
They're starting as $16 an hour?
There was a recruitment ad.
Yeah.
I too have seen a bunch of Amazon employment ads, and they talk about all the benefits and all the things, and then at the very end it says Amazon, you know, like in Canada, they're running them all the time.
I didn't even know they were unionized. I didn't realize they were unionized. I don't think a lot of them are.
No, none of them are, Chester. None of them are. Oh. And that's the point, is that Amazon's running all these ads and propaganda to keep them from voting on being unionized. I'm curious, in Canada, is it easier to unionize than it is in the United States? I would just assume it is.
I don't know union laws. I've only belonged to government unions.
It's not totally facilitated by the government, but I don't really know what the rules are in the United States, but there's rules here too, you know.
Yeah, here unions are completely private endeavors, as far as I understand.
Well, it varies a lot by state, and the local, the current government is trying to do away with the right to work laws, which are in about half of the states, and it's more difficult to unionize in a state that has the right to work laws, and the Democrats are trying to get legislation that would make prohibit white right to work laws in all states. Whether or not they'll succeed or not is yet to be seen.
And that's all in to make it easier for workers to organize.
Yes, absolutely. And I fought unions for over 20 years, the United Mine Workers, and I can tell you, I'll shut up.
Chester, we're all here to have our own opinions and perspectives. That's how we learn and grow, and we appreciate yours all
That's
the
right.
time.
Well, there was a period in the United Mine Workers where I was having two strikes a week.
Wow.
Out of seven different mines.
Wow. That's
well, I'm curious how this will
disrupt things.
I'm curious how this will end up playing out with Amazon, this idea that they're going to all walk out during Black Friday. I just feel like Amazon's got the kind of pockets that none of us will actually feel any difference, and these people probably won't get paid. Anyway, what else we got going on? Bill sent me an article a couple of weeks ago that we still haven't talked about. This 5D data storage technology offers 10,000 times the density of a Blu-ray, and I hope this picture that they're holding up in the article is real, because I love the idea of having a small circular glass disc that has my operating system etched on it. And then throughout time, it just continues to amend the operating system because it has so much data available to it, so much data density available to it. They have found this new technology for storing on glass, etched glass, by cutting with lasers data onto a disc of glass. Let me show you the picture that's... I don't know whether this is true or not, but that's pretty cool. I don't know if everybody can see that or not. It's called 5D Data Storage Technology to save digital copies. And they don't say this, but I have just this fantasy that you could, because there's so much data on such a small piece, such a small disk, that you could realistically have these disks as part of your computer. You could have an operating system like Windows on that disk, and when it gets updates and so on, you can just etch it right onto the disk and keep going forward because there's so much space available in that capacity. Looks like they were able to demonstrate this 6 years ago, and it's still moving forward. I guess this allows data.
Is that designed to replace the hard drive?
Well, that's the way I'm imagining it. It says in here, they now claim to have achieved this by using an optical phenomenon called near field enhancement, which enables them to create the nanostructures with a few weak light pulses rather than with the femtosecond laser directly. So they've been able to do this stuff for a while, but it took a massive amount of equipment and energy. And the big news is they've got it down into a size that could be consumer ready, that you could imagine it as part of your computer. This allows data to be written at a million voxels a second, which equates to 230 kilobytes of data, or more than 100 pages of text per second. So that's not very fast, but at the same time, this is non-destructible. I mean, it's like writing to a DVD or a CD, so it would be more secure, less prone to damage or being worn out in a smaller package than a Blu-ray. I don't know if you guys remember, but Blu-rays are about 50 times... No, they're like 50 gigabytes. Our standard DVD is like 3.5 to 9 gigabytes, and a Blu-ray is like 50 gigabytes of space on one disc. So they're talking about this being 100 times that size. Yeah, 500 terabytes on a single CD-sized disc. 500 terabytes. I just see unalterable backups, kind of like what we talk about with the blockchain. It's immutable. You'd have these immutable databases just because you had that much space available to you. You wouldn't worry about cleaning out your
data. Sounds like something.
Say again?
Sounds like something I don't need.
Well, that's
sound
okay.
Like something
just,
I don't need.
You can't buy it right now anyway, but it is a direction we're going in the future. I don't know. Those are the topics I've brought. I also put to the questions list, have you guys seen our customer support page that I have just recently added to the website? In the last couple of weeks, we've had reason to share phone numbers of tech support. And I thought, hey, why don't we just make that part of our club? And so there, I now have a customer support directory page on our website. Let me grab the link here and I'll just stick it in our chat. I also, if you guys didn't notice, we're on the 10-minute countdown for our chat. So we're going to be switching over to the other chat window in just a little bit.
Speaking of phone numbers,
yes,
I'm having
Fred.
A problem with my insurance. How am I having a problem with my dental insurance? They don't seem to like my Mexican dentist. I need to get a phone number for the American dentist in San Carlos.
Oh, Fred, I sent it to you this morning.
I didn't see it.
As I got your message, I replied because I had the number, but maybe that's something to add to the customer support directory. But I can rattle it off for you here. Let me bring it back up.
That's not it.
I guess I'm having some kind of access problem right now with my website. That's always fun. Right when I'm recommending people check out the website, there's something wrong with the website. American Dental. Are you ready,
Fred? You should
Fred?
Be able to look it up on Google. It's American Dental, and it's father and son. I've been going to them for years.
Yeah, I like them too. They're good. It's 52622226. It's country code 52, area code 622, and then it's 226-2167.
The What's Up newsletter has an awesome directory attached to it for everything in San Carlos, and it's well organized. It's got dentists under, you know, different things. And I like that, Scott, yours is all, you know, Amazon and everything to do with our computers and our phones. And
it
stuff
makes
like
sense
that.
To keep it as tech, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do
then
that.
We know where to look.
There's also, you know what I'd like to add to it as well, is I keep links to warranty support site pages. I keep them bookmarked, so like if you hand me your Lenovo, I can just hit a bookmark and go to Lenovo, and I can look up your serial number and see if you still have a warranty. So I've got like Lenovo, HP, Dell, all just like a click or two away, and I want to add those to the same page so people can go there and check and see their warranties.
Now don't let your bias show and put in HP for those of us that are still.
Say that again.
I know you have an aversion to HP, so I said, you know, don't let the bias show. Go ahead and put that one in there.
Right.
Too.
Oh, hey, don't get me wrong. I like HP. It's provided a lot of work for me, but it's caused a lot of frustrations for my customers.
Speaking of AT&T, I just got a phone call from somebody in Laughlin, and it was marked possible scam. So I just hung up. I kind of like that about AT&T. They tell me.
That's really weird. I am having trouble getting to the Computer Club website right this moment for no apparent reason. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I was trying to do some links, and it just doesn't like that I'm using so much internet, I think. Scott, the other day there was somebody asking questions about internet connections in San Carlos, and
yeah.
They were talking about Telnet something, and I didn't know what that was all about. I tagged you in it and said, is this something we could talk about? But, you know, I may be younger than everybody else, but I've forgotten what it was all about, too. So
gosh, it seems like I saw that and I've forgotten what it was about as well. So it was obviously really important, relevant information.
Well, it was like another way. It was people were making suggestions about what they were using in the Rancheros because they were trying to do business online. And it sounded like it was either a Telcel or a Telnet booster or a Wi-Fi something, a box.
Oh.
Or maybe a service. I'm
well, you know,
sure.
There are some folks that have lousy, like I have a lousy DSL connection. They'll only give me up to 10 megabits a second. That's the reason I've been using Juan as well. I use them in conjunction. But down the road, just three streets, they have fiber optics. And you remember Jim, he's got like 200 down on fiber optics. And so, but what happened was their fiber optics were brought down in the Ranchitos. And so there's just a whole slew of people that were complaining about connections in the Ranchitos over the last week. I'm not one of those people because I didn't even notice any kind of disruption of my service. But that's...
Well, and he was going to be located out at Bahia Delphine. And he was concerned because he is doing online... He wanted to teach online classes.
Yeah.
And he couldn't... He wasn't sure of the reliability and wondered if there was a better location in town that he could either rent space. And people were making this suggestion of buying this service from, it was either Telcel or Telnet. I'm not sure.
Well, I didn't pay too much attention to those recommendations, but I'm very familiar with the Bahia Delphine situation out there at Pilar. They do not have a lot of internet. They have the most basic of internet. And so he's probably looking for an alternative. In fact, I think he said something about maybe renting an office space. And I think that was the best suggestion somebody gave him because there's nothing reliable about internet out in those areas. The people that use internet out there have just become accustomed to it. They get around 10 megabits a second when they're lucky, and sometimes they get half that depending on what's going on. And the office is the same way. There doesn't seem to be any place that you can get more than that out in that area. Going through what I've got left. Well, thank you folks for letting me get through all my stuff right at the top of the hour. What else we got going on? I don't have any other topics today.
I got a comment.
Please do.
Okay, this is a first for us. Well, we don't go to movies and theaters very often, but
during the previews, they had a cryptocurrency ad by Matt Damon, I believe it was. And I thought, that's kind of funny. You know? But there it was. It was a whole big spiel about reliability or whatever. In the very end, it said it was a cryptocurrency ad. So you can look forward to that.
All right. Hey, Jim just jumped in with us. Did you see that they have renamed the Staples Center to something like cryptocurrency.com or crypto.com? I didn't actually pay any attention to it. I've just heard these tech pundits talking about how they've renamed it. And apparently they've bought the rights to the name for something like the next 20 years. So it is no longer the Staples Arena. Oh, here comes Dad.
People still call it that, I'm sure.
Where's the Staples Arena?
Oh, gosh. See, if I followed sports ball, I probably would know. I'm looking it up right now. Staples Center, Los Angeles. Name change. I'm going to get the right name on it. It is actually a domain name. Crypto.com is its new name. AEG sells Staples Center naming rights to crypto.com for $700 million. Oof. Crypto.com Arena. That's actually kind of funny. I wonder if there are many sports fans that will have a problem with that.
Well, that was payable over 20 years.
Say that again, Chester?
It was payable over 20 years.
Oh, $700 million over a 20-year period?
So take 5% of that number. Yeah, the what they paid for the naming rights was payable over 20 years. So take 5% of that number.
Well, that's interesting. So that is a big so they're betting on crypto.com being able to make that kind of money. That website, crypto.com. I've never even been there. Wouldn't it be funny if the domain isn't even... I'm going there now for the first time in my life. Best place to buy, sell, and pay with cryptocurrency. So it's a marketplace. This is the Matt Damon that you saw at the movie theater. This is the Matt Damon ad. There he is right there.
There's the ad. That's the ad.
Oh, and they've added NFTs to their marketplace as well. So that 12-year-old has a place to collect his $400,000 of weird whale art. Fortune favors the brave. Well, you really deflated it, Chester, by saying it's over 20 years. This could be a flash in the pan, right? They could afford
to call them crypto dollars. Or is there another term for the coins?
What it is a marketplace for various cryptocurrencies, buying and selling in all these different crypto coins, for lack of better terminology. But there is no actual coins. I'm sure you know that, Cheryl, is that there is no actual physical coin. It's all just...
No, the question I have is, are they all called dollars as opposed to pesos or euros? But do they use the term dollar?
Only in exchange. There is no dollar or peso or coin is the only equivalency I've seen so far. Is everything's a coin, right? Like Twitter could issue a coin. They call it Twitcoin, something like that. The Facebook could have their own coin. But even the coin, like unlike dollar or peso where your government, your treasurer has decided what the terminology is, the legal tender terminology is, coin has been adapted by the masses. There is no overseeing body that has decided that's the name. It started from Bitcoin being one of the first out there to be taken seriously.
The generic name, I think, is CryptoCoin. And then there are various issuers of coins under that umbrella. And that's my understanding.
But it isn't any kind of organized umbrella. It's just a terminology that spun from Bitcoin. And then CryptoCoin was also coined as a phrase, pardon my pun. And everything now is a coin. Ethereum, Litecoin. There's all these different coins that have come about. But there is no overseeing body that has decided this is the terminology.
It's sort of like the word currency. Currency is what it is. And the place where dollars are created or the coins are created, isn't that called a mill? But we refer to mining currency that's crypto.
Yeah, we mine crypto coin or cryptocurrency. Yeah, but
we don't mill it.
Well, don't we mint it? Is mill a correct word? I thought we minted currency.
Mint currency.
That's what I think.
At the mint.
Mint. Oh yeah, the mint. That's what it is. It's not a mill. It's a mint.
So we mint currency and we mine cryptocurrency.
And we mine gold and we mine ore.
Well, the distinction shouldn't be lost on anybody. We mint money because we allocate money, and so then it gets processed into circulation. With cryptocurrency, it's more similar to mining, like you mine gold. There's an amount of work that goes into the product, and that's what gives it its value, is that work. What gives the value is the governing body, the centralized bank gives the value. But in gold, what gives the value is its scarcity and the amount of work that it takes to get a hold of it.
Okay, so we can...
And I'm not an economics major, so don't quote me on any of that. You're welcome to fact check me.
So we can print money, dollars.
It depends on what kind of printer you have.
Yes, right. And it's called counterfeiting. Is there any way to counterfeit a crypto coin? No.
Well, I don't know if you remember a couple weeks back, we were talking about the Squid Game coin, right? And what they did was, I mean, this is the new world we live in, is there, it was like a meme currency. They had these YouTubers, they had these influencers out there pushing this Squid Game coin. It was going to be the next big cryptocurrency. And they got all these people involved. They started actually putting money into this thing, started raising millions of dollars. And then overnight, it just vaporized. There was no system for... They were showing these incredible gains in value. And then overnight, there was no way to trade in that value. It was just gone. It was like it never existed. If you go back to some of my previous blog posts of our meetings, I posted an article, I think it was from Wired, that went into the details of the Squid Coin and what had happened there. But I think that would have to be the equivalency of counterfeit in the cryptocurrency realm, would be convincing people, like a pyramid scheme, to get into a crypto coin, a new crypto coin. I can only see that as an equivalency, because which Bitcoin is, it's a well thought out coin. They've tried to take that list of things that make currency difficult, things like counterfeiting, right? Things that make fraud. There's a list of things that you can point to as being problems with currency, including centralized authority over it and being able to raise and lower the interest rate on a whim, things like that, that they were trying to avoid when they came up with the idea of cryptocurrency. And so it's like a checklist of things that they tried to hit when they came up with a cryptocurrency. So I think it's very hard to look at it through the eyes of counterfeit, because there isn't a way to have the same Bitcoin, for lack of better terminology, to have a duplicate of that Bitcoin, the same way you can photocopy a dollar.
Anybody that invests in Squid Coin learned nothing from the show.
Well, they were desperate. At least they didn't lose their life. I read an interview with one of the investors. He's like, it's all good. I knew what I was doing when I put money into it. None of this is real. It could easily just, that's part of the game. Why should it grow in value? The fact that it does, that's the risk you're taking. So I think you're right, Paul.
Well, the other risk you're taking with those type of investments is the possibility or the probability that they will be regulated throughout the world.
Well, and that's really what our governments are focusing on right now, is tracking and finding a way to hold them accountable, hold them responsible for taxes and tax purposes. Like that 12-year-old said, he'll probably get a bank account specifically for tax purposes.
You know, when you guys talk about investing, it feels like, you know, the old one is, I can sell you a oceanfront property and something. But I always think of, I can buy a condo in the complex at the San Carlos Golf Course. I think people have invested in that more than once.
Yeah, I often wonder if this is not the best place to keep your money. I wouldn't, if in the past that hasn't been the case, and maybe only recently, maybe there is investment potential here. But it seems like what we've watched, I've been here 25 years, we've watched people get sucked into the idea of investing in property around here and then watched that just vaporize. We have those.
It reminds,
oh, go ahead, Chester.
It reminds me of the problem with investing in gold. And most of the wealthy families around the world that invest in gold invest a small amount of their wealth on the basis that it is a go to hell investment, that if everything else in the world goes to hell, you got to go. My point of view is that, well, so what, you have gold, who's going to buy it?
Oh, if everything goes to hell,
who's going to buy it?
I have stories of friends of mine who were in Hungary during the Second War, and they were those kind of investors who did invest in gold, and the way they did it was buying chains, and they were able to sell links for loaves of bread.
Oh, wow.
By pinching them off with a pair of wire cutters, you know?
I think so, somewhat in a bartering environment that mm-hmm. use it.
Yeah.
I would imagine
with the silver coins.
I would imagine in a collapsed economy, loaves of bread would fetch quite a bit of gold.
Yeah.
I'm going to invest in bolios.
You're going to invest in what?
Bolios.
Bolios.
Donuts. Donut. What do you? I have my fallback plan is my donut collection.
Hey, Chester, I just noticed you have a fox in your background.
Boy, I haven't seen him.
He's right off your right shoulder.
Oh, how about that?
Hey, little guy, how are you doing?
Yes, that's all right there.
Well, you know, we've been doing this for about an hour. I think we're getting close to wrapping it up. Does anybody have any recommendations for the group? You know, we do this recommendations segment, and the idea is that anything's up for grabs. You can recommend movie, TV, book, audio book, podcast, and applications or websites, anything you guys have been doing recently that you think the rest of us might find value out of, please shout out a recommendation.
Carolyn and I just finished Dairy Girls on Netflix, 2 seasons.
Dairy Girls
from London, like they're dairy, D-E-R-R-Y, like Londonderry. So they're during the Troubles in Ireland, and it's just these crazy high school girls who are, you know, are sort of steeped in the Protestant Catholic divide, and it's fun. It's not
it's a comedy.
It's very light comedy, very light.
I finally finished Longmire, and I really enjoyed the series. It's almost good as Abbey. I can't remember the name.
But you said Abbey, and my mind went first to Downton Abbey.
Yes, that's Downton Abbey was the best series I've ever watched.
Well, did you see? I saw news that there's a movie that's going to come out in 2023.
We've been expecting a movie for quite a while, so it'll be a surprise if it does.
Well, I did see some news, some entertainment news the other day that had it on the timeline, posted it. Where?
Yay. My granddaughter took me to see Ghostbusters.
Oh,
yesterday.
You took my recommendation.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry, but I had to beat you to it. Being old, you know, I might not get it out before whatever, before I forget. Anyway,
so that was for her 16th birthday, she took Grandma to the movie.
Well, she took a few other people, too.
Took all of us to the movies.
Well, and we saw it, and I'm sitting there because I taught in the community right beside where that oil refinery, the spooky place, you know, with the ghosts and all that.
you're familiar with where that is.
Exactly. That's the Turner Valley Gas Plant in southern Alberta. I taught in Black Diamond right beside it. It's been turned into a amusement park / museum, and it's called Hell's Half Acre, which is what the whole oil field was referred to, because at night you could see all the flares and hell, left burning in hell. So Hell's Half Acre is the name of that facility, and the groups that have been keeping the history, facts, and everything about it, Turner Valley, Alberta. And then a lot of the small towns, the car is situated. Phil was looking at the map online this morning, and we know these places where the diner is, and the scenery is so Drumheller and something Horse Canyon. It just was really cool to to watch it and the field. So very close to where Bill grew up and where I taught 20 years. It was a really neat experience to see that as well. Great movie.
It was such a great movie. If you're a fan of the first Ghostbusters movie, it was like watching that for the first time. I
woke up giggling this morning about the marshmallows, especially the ones in the blender.
Should we go and see other Ghostbuster movies before we see that one, or
not necessary? But the first one, if you're not familiar with it, it would help to watch the very first one. Avoid the other two because it's not related to the other two movies at all. And the second Ghostbusters movie is not a recommendation. It's a horrible movie. The second Ghostbusters 2 did not do what it was supposed to do. It was a bad movie. It had a couple of good things in it, but no. Watch the first movie. If you feel so inclined, you can enjoy this movie without it. It's just more background for the universe. Well, and
there are so many references to the first movie and this movie. Like you have to watch it 2-3 times to catch all the little what I call Easter eggs in there. It's just an awesome movie, and you really should watch the first one first.
I'm ready to go back into the theater and watch it again. I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there. I remember watching the first Ghostbusters with my best friend. We were 14 years old. We were at the 4th Avenue Theater, and I got all that same sentiment from this movie at 51 years old with like a lifetime of experience, and I was just giddy like a child in this movie. It just hit me really hard in this movie. The special effects, they did a really good job of making this feel the same way that first movie felt, where it wasn't all comedy. It was a horror film. It was ghosts, so there were scary bits in it, and great special effects, and good funny stuff in it as well. I'm just ready to go and see it again. Go ahead, Mom. I'm sorry.
Good laugh out loud kind of moments. Yeah. I have another one to recommend. We just watched it. It's called Finch, and it has Tom Hanks by himself, although there are a couple of robots in it. It only, where we were looking, we watched it on television, but it was through Radiosity. And it only had a 3 out of 10 rating. And we thought, how bad can Tom Hanks be? Well, he wasn't bad at all. It was really a good movie. We think it should rate their score on that, because it just was a really nice futuristic movie that kind of is scary too because of what happens. But anyway, Finch, it's called.
Finch, I've seen the commercials for it. I chuckle every time I see it because this is the guy that did the Castaway. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's done
with the Ball Wilson.
Yeah.
It's kind of along that same lines.
When it seems like he's got a couple others where he's the only actor in the movie. I'm at a loss right now. I'm not remembering the titles. But he seems to be becoming the go-to guy for these one person, these one actor roles.
Yeah. What's not to like about Tom Hanks, huh?
Well, we'll have to watch. I was interested in that because it was sci-fi and Tom Hanks. So those are two good reasons for me to want to watch it.
Okay, I have a comment on another one.
Okay.
There's the new, it's out on Amazon, it's the Wheel of Time. It's the series made out of that Wheel of Time series of books that are about 18 books long now. I read the first few books and I really liked the story, but the series is really lacking, I think, in a lot of things. The dialogue is terrible. It's just like almost like the old kung fu movies, you know, hurry, let's go, come on, you know. I mean, it's just like it doesn't really turn too many corners for me. Anyway, I'm still hooked. I'm at the third episode, waiting for the fourth. I'll watch it for a bit more, but it really isn't all that exciting as I had hoped it would. There you go.
Is it a translation? Sometimes when they are dubbed into English, that oh, God, no. doesn't work.
No, no, this is straight up Amazon movie or Amazon series. It's done in English.
They needed to have a better writer then, huh?
Oh, God, I guess. You know, their dialogue is absolutely abysmal.
They spend a whole lot of time
being chased. There's a lot of chase scenes in this thing. So, we've done the first two episodes,
haven't started the third one yet. And I don't have any background with the books. I wasn't aware of what the story was. It seems all right. They're doing world building, but you are right. It's very trite, the dialogue. It's not deep. But I'll stick with it and see what happens. I keep trying to get back to Foundation, but I enjoy the world building that's going on in that series. We got through the first two episodes, can't get any farther. It's like work. It's like, no, I want something a lot lighter than that today. A series about fictitious math. No, maybe today isn't the day to go on to the next episode.
No, neither of these series follow the book all that closely.
So I'm trying to get set up.
Hey, before we get too far away from my recommendations, I did forget that I wanted to recommend a very specific podcast episode from Cafe Insider that I thought you all would find interesting. Cafe Insider is, it's a group of district attorneys and others of that light that have worked in various parts of government, either state government or federal government, and they've put together this whole podcast network. And this is an interview between Joyce Vance and Roger McNamee. Roger is a founder of, or one of the first investors in Facebook and advisors to Mark Zuckerberg. And this interview is awesome. From his background, he gives you a real history of where Facebook started and what kind of things that Mark was thinking about in the beginning. And it's this is that guy that has come out against Facebook in recent years. That has been just very anti-Facebook after having years of experience with Mark as a friend, Sheryl Sandberg as a friend. In fact, he was instrumental in Sheryl Sandberg playing a role in Facebook. Mark and Sheryl didn't even know each other until he was involved in getting them together. He is a great one to be giving background on this organization and the way they make decisions. And if you've looked at the document I shared, there's a link there, and I'll take a second and I'll share the link here in our in Colma. And of course, I'll put it on the blog post I'm going to do. What have we got here, Fred? Thank you for our services. Your personal subscription Geek Squad PC Care will expire today, November 20th. Oh, is this a customer support number to add to our list?
No, because the first thing they do is, if you want to not do that, they tell you to load their software. If you want to unsubscribe, load their software. I think it's a scam.
Oh.
And I thought I'd put it out.
Okay. Order number.
Yeah, I
oh, go so out there to, they're telling to, you that you ordered this service from them? Yeah.
I have never ordered that service, but I went out there to unsubscribe, and the first thing they want you to do is load their software on your system.
Yeah, it looks like a scam to me, too.
Thanks
but
for
I thought I'd put it out because, it's a reputable name.
That's all they
Besides
have to
that,
do
I
is,
don't have any.
Yeah, that's the reason you get emails from eBay saying we need to verify you again, or from Microsoft, is because that's exactly what they do. They trigger these, maybe you did just buy a computer. You can hit a million users with the same email. Somebody out there just bought a computer from Best Buy.
Well, they sit there and say that I've got three Windows computers. I don't own a Windows computer.
There you go. That's a good example. Just like last week, I was talking about how Chase Bank keeps sending me things saying I need to update my password, but I don't have a Chase Bank account.
I get almost daily phone calls about my Visa charges, and I don't have a Visa credit card. So, yeah, they're out there a lot.
Well, when we've talked about Visa in the past, my recommendation is always use a credit card if you're going to be buying stuff online, because the credit card companies insure themselves against fraud, so you don't really have to worry about it. But we do have this industry selling the fear of fraud, and so they've got these credit card, they've got these companies that will give you temporary credit card numbers, which actually sound like a pretty decent idea if the liability was left to you. This idea that you you would hire a company provide you with temporary credit card numbers to alleviate the amount of fraud that could be done to you. And these, I don't have one particular to mention, and these ideas have been around for a long time. But there are a couple of them that are being mass marketed right now. And the idea is that they can give you a credit card number that would be used specifically for an authorized purchaser. A real life example would be like they would give you a credit card number that you would use with Netflix. And if all of a sudden that credit card number was being used for some other purchase, they would block that purchase and shut down the use of that credit card number. Sounds great. Except our credit card companies already charge us a percentage and fees. Their business is protecting us already. And so what this other business is really doing is they're just selling the fear of you being liable for those purchases that might be made by a lost credit card. And there's some genuine stuff there. Like if you have to cancel your credit card because of fraud, you've got the inconvenience of needing to get another credit card, having it sent to you wherever you are. And so you're kind of alleviating all those kinds of pressures, but you are still buying another service where credit card companies have kind of covered you already when those frauds occur. I don't know what got me into that conversation. Anyway, that's something that's going on as well that isn't fraud, but it is interesting that they're selling you the fear of fraud to protect you from the fear of fraud. When, in my opinion, I think the credit card companies have done a really good job of making sure you're not scared of using a credit card. Don't use your debit card. That's what you should take from this. Don't use your debit card. Use your credit card. You know, I think I mentioned a few weeks ago, I have a friend that's dealing with having her debit card get out of control, that thousands of dollars were sucked out of her bank account through her debit card. And it's taken her forever to get any satisfaction. In the end, it looks like Wells Fargo is going to cover her losses and put money back into her account. But it's the last thing that has happened. It has required all kinds of phone conversations and holding accountable this bank to her lost debit card number. But in the end, it looks like she's going to get some satisfaction.
So if you push Wells Fargo long enough, they finally give up.
I think that might be the last.
I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah, well, maybe at some point in all the legalese, they are liable.
Like, good to know.
I wouldn't put it past Wells Fargo to make it seem like you're not going to get your money back, even though legally they are liable for having lost.
Yep.
Well, we are reaching an hour and a half into our meeting. It seems like this is a good time to be winding things down. Do we have any last bits of information or opinions or recommendations that people would like to share with the group before we call it the end of the meeting? Yes, please.
I read today on an article about power companies or the government of Mexico are considering changing the rules for the privately owned the generating systems like Jim has. I was wondering if anybody has heard anything more about it, or I was wanting to talk to ask Jim, but he left on us. But it's something to do with changing the rules for the solar powered kinds of generating things that like he has.
Well, Bill, if you can find that article, I'd love to read it because it's a concern of mine since we just had solar installed and we're still waiting for our meter to come from the CFE.
Okay, I know where to find it. I'll find it and send it, post it to you.
Oh, please do. Yeah, because I've heard the same thing, some speculation, but I haven't seen it in Mexican news. And Marco Cruz, the guy that has talked to us about solar, the guy that has installed all these solar installs, he hasn't mentioned anything about it. When I've asked him about it, he hasn't been concerned about it. And so I don't even know what I'm asking about, really. So I'd love to see the article.
I'll find it.
Thank you. Anything else we'd like to add? Oh, go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, next Tuesday, we hope to be logging in from our location in San Carlos. We have no idea what kind of internet we're going to have. We understand that it's Telmex.
and we move in on Monday afternoon. So hopefully Tuesday morning you'll see us, even if we have to go to Tequila's to get hooked up and sit in their restaurant to do it.
All right.
So, look forward to seeing everybody next Tuesday.
That'll be fun.
Excellent. Well, you guys,
good luck with the drive down there.
We look forward to having you in town.
Okay, I'm going to end with, who are you going to call?
Scott Stimson. If you're looking for computer help anywhere out there on the internet, call International Computer Solutions and I'll be there busting your tech problems.
And I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts in the machine.
I'm going to be here ghosting your podcast.
All right. You guys have an awesome week. We'll see you next Tuesday. Until then, everybody, tech on.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Adios, all. Happy birthday, Paul. All right. Well, here you go. That was the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday at 10 o'clock. That's Arizona time. So I think it's GMT minus 7. If you don't know what that is, Google it. If you have any computer needs out there on the internet, I'd appreciate it if you give me a shot. Scott at internationalcs.net. I do remote appointments and I can reach across the internet and hopefully help solve or help train or help teach, whatever it is that you're trying to let me. If you're interested in this or other things like it, check out our website at sccclub.org. Until next Tuesday, to everyone out there, tech on.